Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right now, well, on Christmas Day, there was a bombing in Nashville. And joining me right now is Meira Sversky. She's from an organization called the Clarion Project. And it's been too long since I've spoken to you, Meira. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Meira, was this a terror attack? Wasn't it a terror attack? Do you have the details?
Well, nobody has too many details.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting question. Is it a terrorist attack? Is it not a terrorist attack? Certainly there was a completely unusual sense of occurrences that normally would not accompany a terrorist attack. Like, for example, there was a warning. Get out of here. This vehicle is going to explode. And yet, somebody parked a vehicle that's going to explode. So it's certainly something very different than what we've seen. Not too much is known about it. They have identified the person who they think was the perpetrator of the attack and a suicide at the same time.
Gosh, you know, it's one thing if you want to take your own life. It's something when you want to take other people down with you.
Well, it wasn't even so much people, it seems like. It was done in a business district. That was, you know, there definitely were residents and the recording that was going off in the vehicle, you know, said, get out of here. This vehicle is going to explode in, you know, however long and the countdown. But on the other hand, you know, it was definitely programmed to happen Christmas morning, 6:30 in a business district. So it wasn't the point to take down a lot of people. Certainly damage the entire business district, though. Like, yeah. Crazy amount of damage.
You know what I was actually thinking? It's so interesting that we're speaking today in relation to, you know, this attack on the weekend. But I was actually thinking about you last week and thinking I should give you a call to find out the impact on COVID-19 on terror attacks. There was a time where we were reporting every week. Do you remember, Meira?
I do remember, and it's very interesting how the Islamist terror attacks have really, really calmed down. We've seen also, an increase in the white supremacist activity, although we should not be lulled into complicity that the Islamist terrorists are in any way gone or have given up. They are around. They're just not as active as they used to be. Certainly that the momentum of ISIS got damaged when Trump went in and really kind of decimated ISIS in Iraq and Syria, which was their big stronghold. Every week we were talking about it. We haven't been talking about it now. There's a lot of recruitment that's going on online during COVID that since people, especially kids and young adults, are home. You know, nobody's out because of the lockdowns. Everybody's online. So this is very concerning.
Yeah. But there definitely seems to have been less. You know, maybe it's just based on what's happening in the Middle East, do you think that that could be another reason? You know, we've got the Abrahamic Accords. Do you think that that could also be driving less terrorism?
I don't think that it's driving less terrorism because I think the terrorists are ideologically motivated. And I think that's one thing that the West has always, not exactly dismissed, but not taken seriously enough in terms of how to go about fighting the Islamist terrorism.
Yeah.
But so when you talk about people who are ideologically motivated, they don't die down. But they are looking, and they always have, like organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood, looking at the long term. They have what's called a gradualism strategy. They say that, okay, maybe the way we're going to do this is not through the violence. It's not through the terrorist attacks anymore. It's more through getting our way into government, getting the rights, making intersectional coalitions with the left. And that's more of what we see.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay, Meira, I wanted to just also pick your brain a little bit and help me to understand domestic terrorism. Domestic terrorism versus radical, you know, like the radical Islamic terrorism that we've seen over the last few years.
Are you talking about domestic terrorism that's ideologically driven, like people like the far left, like Antifa?
Yeah, I mean, like, is there a common thread in domestic terrorism?
I think there's the common thread in terms of domestic terrorism in that most of these people really just want to destroy the system. They're not, they complain and they wail about the inequalities and, you know, the lack of, you know, like the racism and everything like that in America. But they're not really interested in fixing anything. They're not really interested in taking a system that in its core, like if you look at the American Constitution, for example, is a unbelievably fabulous document. Now that's not to say that America or any other country that has a good document has lived up to those standards,
yeah.
But at least they have something to strive for and build on ideologically. But these people, these domestic terrorists, want to tear down and just to create chaos and instill, I mean, they say that they want to instill a new world order, but I don't think they have any real concept of what that order is going to be. And meanwhile, the people who do have a concept, like the Marxists and the socialists and people like that, they have a big agenda, and they are very happy to kind of take advantage of this chaos.
Yeah. I think somebody who really explained it best was a guy by the name of Yuri Bezmenov. I'm sure you've heard of him. He was the former head of propaganda for the KGB, and he defected to the West. And with that came all the knowledge of how they train. And he said subversion is absolutely massive. It's where you attack yourself. It attacks you from the inside. That's what it looks like.
Right. I have seen some unbelievable videos from him and from other defectors from the KGB, from other, Eastern European countries. And what is the most frightening thing is you see the same set of circumstances. And one of the things that they used back in the 60s and they're using now is the conflict between the races.
Yeah. Incredible.
Because this really was not an issue in America. This was something that America had really put behind them, working past that with the civil rights movement and all of the progress that was made. And this is something that was definitely put into the system. And it's just incredible when you listen to people like Uri and the other people, it's a absolute strategy that is well thought out and is playing out again.
No, exactly. And it's extraordinary when you see, you know, in one of his videos, I'm just telling our listeners, this Yuri Bezmenov, go and look it up on YouTube. His stuff is all there. But he actually shows there's five different areas that you attack through subversion, and he gives timelines. So the first thing that you do is you attack education, you attack the relationship between of God, and you attack religion, you attack employer-employee relations, you attack. It's actually astonishing, because when you see that, you see the world with different eyes. It was a huge wake-up call for me to listen to Yuri Bezmenov, and bless him. Some of those videos can be 3 hours long. Meira, thank you so much. Always interesting to chat to you. And thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. God bless. Bye-bye. That is Meira Sversky. She is editor-in-chief, I believe, at The Clarion Project. You can go and check them out. Clarion.org and ClarionProject.org. I'm Kathy Kayla, standing in for Howard Feldman.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.